Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
Good morning.
Hello.
How's everybody? I've already managed to break the microphone this morning, so I think I better pray before anything else goes wrong. Oh, dear. All right, I'm going to pray. Join me. Father, I thank you that you are with us this morning. Lord, I thank you that no one gives us joy and peace in the way that you do. And I pray especially, actually, for people today where sorrow feels quite in their face, Lord, where there's anxiety, where joy and peace seem a long way to be found. I pray for those people especially today that they would hear your truth, that they would be set free by it, that they would be comforted by it. Lord, that all the kind of distractions that happen on a Sunday and things going on in their hearts and their minds would be stilled as they hear about you, the one that brings peace and joy in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are doing a series on fruits of the Spirit, and Chris kicked us off last week. I'm not going to go over all of his preach because you can hear it online. He does an amazing job, but he did talk about how when it talking about fruits and gifts, although we're not like pairing one off against the other, actually, you know, we might not have all the gifts, but we can have all the fruits of the Spirit. And actually, in this series, where often at City Hope we might look at a whole book and we open up and we go to the bigger picture, today we're, and actually in the Sundays that go ahead, we're going to hone in on different fruits of the Spirit. So today, like I said, we're talking about peace and joy. So I'm going to read the passage. Here we go. This is what we're looking at. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another to be jealous of one another. Amen. Just going to take a little drink of this. Oh, excuse me. All right, so my husband, Dan, is not easy to buy presents for. Oh, my goodness. So he, just not easy. I would never stop there. Let the heckling start. Here we go, City Hope Sundays. I will encourage it. The more heckling, the better. My husband, Dan, is not easy to buy gifts for. It's fair to say gifts are not his love language, fortunately. He is a fashion designer. I am not a fashion designer. So buying him clothes kind of goes like a lead balloon, down like a lead balloon. He basically, if I buy him clothes as a present, he takes them back. I'd expect to get an R. Yeah, they end up taken back very quickly after Christmas, usually in the sale. He gets some, like, three other much more stylish items in the sale, so he'll take them back. Anyway, one day he said to me he liked bonsai trees. I was like, right, write it down. I don't care how much they cost. I'm going to buy a bonsai tree for him because then he won't take it back. And back in those days, I don't know if anybody remember, Bermondsey actually weirdly had a bonsai tree shop. Even better, didn't have to go into town to get it. So I went along to the bonsai tree shop. To be honest, I found the cheapest one I could find because they're quite expensive. And I brought it back to the flat. And we were actually going away for a few days before his birthday. And so I didn't want to take the bonsai tree on our journey with us, so that'd be a bit sad. So I put it in the middle of the room. Our flat was lovely and bright and sunny. I just thought, bonsai trees, they must need sunlight. Put it there, be there for a few days, and just, you know, it's going to be great when we get back. We're going to walk in, and there he's going to finally see a present he wants. He sees the bonsai tree, having lots of light in the sun. Anyway, so put it there, went away for our weekend, came back to the flat, opened the door, looked for the tree. It's fair to say It felt like autumn had come in our flat because all the leaves had fallen off the tree. It turns out that bonsai trees don't just need lots of sunlight, they need water as well. So it wasn't quite the surprise that I'd wanted Dan to have. Now, it's fair to say that the tree was still a tree. You could tell because it had a trunk. Not much else, but it had a trunk. So it was still a tree, but it just wasn't thriving. It wasn't doing well, and it wasn't growing. It hadn't been nurtured. Its environment was completely wrong. Now for us, please hear this. Jesus dying on the cross has achieved freedom for us. We are definitely saved by faith, not by fruit. But actually, we need to, like the passage suggests, follow the Spirit's leading into joy and peace. God is doing something in us by his Spirit, but those fruits need cultivation as well, just like my tree did. So today we're going to look at joy and peace, which are two characteristics in Paul's list of fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at what do we mean by joy and peace, just so we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. We're going to look at the environments where these plants grow best. And we're also going to think about when we have the fruits of the Spirit, joy and peace, what do we do with them? I'm going to lump joy and peace together. Now, I know they're not exactly the same, but they are quite similar. You know, if you have joy, you will have peace. If you have peace, you will have joy. And I didn't think you wanted to be here for like a couple of hours where I took them both apart. So to keep it shorter, I'm putting them together. And also because Frederick Brotherton Mayer said this. He said, joy is peace dancing. Peace is joy at rest. That's beautiful, isn't it? I had to quote it because I know that you'd know that I didn't say that. Frederick Brotherton Mayer was a friend of D.L. Moody's. He was a Baptist preacher and an evangelist in the 1800s. So, if we were to create a perfect environment for growing joy and peace, what would it look like? What comes to mind when you think joy and peace? Because it's really different for different people, isn't it? Some people may think, oh, like a spa weekend, lots of cucumber and humming. Is that what it sounds like? Humming and cucumber everywhere and face packs. Some people might think football, you know, your team's winning, that really brings you a lot of joy. Some people will think just a bit of time away from the kids, nicely timed. Some people actually might think time with some kids if you want children, you haven't got any. Maybe you think bigger house, maybe you think garden, maybe you think holidays. I don't know. Different things bring different people joy and peace. And you think, maybe, surely, if I had those things, then I'd have more joy and peace in my life. But you know, there must be more to man-made environments than joy to get joy and peace. Otherwise, what happens when you run out of cucumber and you stop humming and your football team loses and some of the things that we can put our hope in so easily fail us? So we're going to look at some of the deeper aspects of joy and peace today. If my clicker would... Oh, no. Here we go. So Tim Keller, who is a preacher and evangelist and very clever, he gives a definition as well as their opposites and counterfeits. So he says, joy, chara, probably pronounced wrong in the Greek, is a delight in God for the sheer beauty and worth of who he is. So joy, the real definition of joy, is a delight in God for the sheer beauty and worth of who he is. Better than your football team winning and your cucumbers. The opposite of joy is hopelessness and despair, and it's counterfeit. And I think it's really interesting that he says this, because it's really easy to go extremes on this, and that kind of lets us off the hook. So we can create counterfeits in our lives, and it's counterfeit is elation that is based on experiencing blessing, not the blessing, causing mood swings based on circumstance. Okay, so it can be anything. Peace. In the Greek, it's eirene. It's a confidence and rest in the wisdom and control of God rather than your own. I'll say that again. A confidence and rest in the wisdom and control of God rather than your own. And the opposite, obviously, is anxiety and worry. And its counterfeit is indifference apathy and not caring about something. Because actually, it's really easy to look at some people and think, oh, they're really peaceful. They might be really peaceful, and they might just not really be bothered. And so it's, you know, it doesn't they don't look anxious or worried about anything. So we're going to have a think about how we can create environments for real peace and real joy to grow in our lives. So firstly, go organic. Keep your environment free from unnatural false sources of joy and peace. Now, I am not saying, I'm not doing the bar humbug sermon. I'm not saying don't have anything fun in your life. Don't use anything else to bring you joy. Don't go to your football and your spa, because I'm not saying we can't have any fun. You know, actually, in the Bible, joy, things that brought joy are mentioned so many times. Joy is referenced in terms of when people are eating food. There's talks about joy at weddings, like children bringing joy. Even in some scriptures, it talks about perfume being a source of joy to people. So we're not saying that these things are bad, but we just need to watch what we are putting our hope in, what we are putting our happiness in the day-to-day. Because actually, no matter how many fun things, how many relaxing things we manage to squeeze into our lives, they are no substitute for a friendship with Jesus. Some of those that Paul was writing to in the book of Galatians, and I would encourage you just that it's not a massive book just to read the whole thing. Some of those that Paul were writing to were actually looking to other things for peace. They were placing their hopes in obeying the law. And actually, a lot of kind of arguments have come out of that. And they got very upset when other people weren't. They were putting their hope in law. And actually, we can be like the Galatians, because that's not a very obvious thing, is it, to put your peace in obeying rules? And we can be like that sometimes. Sometimes our source of joy can be something that might seem quite good on the outside, might actually seem quite noble, but actually, it's still a counterfeit. It's still not as important or as essential as Jesus is to being our source of joy and peace. Sorry. So an example of that, and this isn't going to be a massive surprise to some of you, is I love my job, okay? I often talk about it from that stage. I love the community that Jesus has planted me in. I get to use my gifts there. And you know, it doesn't really feel like a job. I'd be there anyway. Don't tell my boss that. But what happens in that community and what happens in my days when actually I don't see any growth, when people don't come to my parent groups, when, you know, I have a prayer meeting and it's just not many people turn up, or you know, what happens in those times? You know, I long for growth, I long for the community to be brought together, but what happens if all my hope is in it, then actually it doesn't go out quite as I want? You know, my joy can dip. And I want my hope and my joy and my peace to be in Jesus and my relationship with him. I don't want days of, you know, ups and downs. And, you know, sometimes we ask each other, don't we, how's your week been? And often we can just relate circumstances. We can say, oh, my week's been like this, and say what we've been doing. And actually, I've got a couple of friends that are amazing, because when you say to them, how's your week been, they actually, the first thing they'll say is, God is good. It's the first thing they say, because actually all those different circumstances go up and down, but actually God is good. He is my source of hope and joy. You know, the joy that fed and sustained Jesus was not in what he did. It's not in the sermons that he gave. It wasn't in the sick that he healed, or even in the dead that he raised. But it was within the relationship that he had with the Father. That was the joy that sustained him. And actually, even the disciples were told not to rejoice that the demons flee, but that their names are written in the book of life. And I do feel, you know, one of the reasons I mention this is we hear stories across the world, and even amongst our own community, where we hear God doing new things. It does seem exciting. It does see that we can sometimes see him moving in these times, that ways that we haven't maybe for a few years. We've had more baptisms here, all those kinds of things. And it is wonderful, and we do rejoice, and it's wonderful to celebrate those things. However, let those things not become our source of joy and peace. They weren't Jesus's, and they don't need to be ours. So what do you know about organic fruit other than it's good for you? What can you tell me about organic fruit other than it's supposed to be good for you? It's expensive. Perfect, Terry. That's exactly, which is why I never buy it, even in Lidl. It's really expensive, okay? And actually, so is this kind of growth. Okay, because actually rooting out the things in our minds and our hearts and finding the things which are causing us, are being sources of joy and peace more than Jesus, and actually being that honest with ourselves and each other, it's a bit costly. We don't want to do it. We don't want to lay things aside in case they've become our joy or peace, do we? It's not a nice kind of inward conversation, but it's really important that we do. It's costly, but it's worth it. Let's keep our environment free from unnatural sources of joy and peace as much as possible. Ah, so lovely. I knew that would get a cheer. So beautiful. Joy and peace grow best in community. Okay? We can often think of ourselves when we're thinking about growing fruits of the Spirit, but actually they're best in community. Paul was writing here to a community. Okay, he wasn't writing to a single recipient. He was writing to a church community. So we are growing together. Okay, so let's pull out of weeds of sadness, false joy, and anxiety together as a community, reminding each other of truth. It's not just our own little apple, our own little fruit that we're concerned about here. It's about the health and the beauty of the whole orchard. Okay? It's much bigger than how do I become more joy and peaceful? How do I work on joy and peace? It's how do we learn from each other without competing, without putting each other down, without envying each other, as some of the Galatians were. Paul writes, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. A few weeks ago, it's kind of embarrassing, but a few weeks ago, Lola asked me what I was preaching on. And I said to her, I'm preaching on fruits of the Spirit. And she said, which ones are you preaching on? I said, I'm preaching on joy and peace. She put her head to one side and she looked at me and went, I can see joy. Peace, Mum. Not so much. Do you think you should be preaching on that? No, I'm just preaching on the ones that I was given. But seriously, I actually did stop her because I thought otherwise she might just literally go through all the other fruits and just like grade me 3 out of 10 for gentleness, 4 out of 10. But seriously, if we don't nurture these fruits in community, if we don't see it as a whole picture nurturing together, then actually it's easy to start judging each other on this person's good at that one and this person's got that one. And, you know, before you know it, you're thinking they ate 7 donuts before the poocher even got up this morning. Self-control, only a 2. You know, it's not healthy. We need to be responsible for each other's fruits and causing growth. Joy and peace grow in community. Here from One Lot of Happy People. Look at this man. Oh, am I supposed to point it? Oh, there we go. Surround yourself with people that have lots of fruit, just like him. Now, I'm not a gardener, so I need to be careful with my gardening analogies, just like I need to be careful with using Greek words. But I did read that for fruit trees to pollinate, they need other fruit trees of the same variety near to them. Okay, so they need to be near other fruit trees to pollinate well. So, and if we want to grow in joy and peace, we need to observe and hang out with other people that we can see abundance of it in. Yeah? Not just people that are happy and always smiling and don't shout at each other, but actually people where you can see fruit and joy, even in sometimes in the most hard and difficult circumstances. Because actually with joy and peace, like all the fruits, you see them when there's pressure. I'm going to get onto that a bit more later, but that's where we can sometimes see them. So it's not about just finding the person that's got all the best photos on Facebook. Sometimes it's like finding somewhere where naturally there'd be no joy, naturally there should be no peace, but there's a sense of thriving and a trust in Jesus anyway. Maybe if we want to grow in joy and peace, we need to look and hang out with someone who's separated from family and whose country's at war, but is still trusting God and pushing back. Maybe if we want to grow in joy, we need to spend time with somebody that is sick, but is still trusting God in the midst of the sickness. Let's not feel sorry for each other when we're experiencing trials. Let's hang out with each other, not to kind of bleed each other dry for some kind of fruit, but actually to learn from each other and to stand together. Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone, this morning, but I would really like to honour a couple of people. I don't want to cry either. There are a couple of people in this church I would just like to honour. One of them is Denise. Now, as we know, Denise is undergoing chemo at the moment and she's sick. But I've had the privilege of spending a bit of time with Denise and visiting her a couple of times. And honestly, obviously she talks about how things are going, but also she also talks a lot about the school and how that she works at and how she wants the children there to still keep doing well and thriving and how she's still praying for them. She also talks about the worship night she's going to have when she's well again. And so this is somebody that has joy and peace, that you can really see it. I want to spend time with her. I want to learn and see what God's doing in her life. Another of my friends, Suzanne. Suzanne's country is at war. She's from Sudan. Most of her friends live in the friends and family live in the capital city. But joy and peace is so evident in her life, in her speech, in the way that she prays for me and encourages me, the way she is constantly thanking Jesus. You know, she's that person that I mentioned. If I say to her, "How is your week?" she starts off with, "God is good." And then you hear how things are going in the country, but she started from a place of, "God is good. I'm growing in joy and peace when I spend time with those people. Meeting them is just like a lesson in those things." Joy and peace also grow in an environment of obedience. It says this in John, "I have loved you," Jesus says this, "I have loved you even as the Father loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." We need to remain in him. Also in the Psalms, it says these very simple statements. "Those who love your instructions have great peace. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands." God's word and reading it and knowing it can bring us joy and peace. You know, it's simple really in that God knows what is best for us. He loves us. Going our own way does not bring us joy and peace. But actually, if we see what he wants from our lives, if we look at his word, then joy and peace will come. Joy and peace grow in an environment of grace. Law can kill, grace cultivates. Our emphasis has to shift from what I am doing to what he has done. You know, this was really a big part of Paul's message to the Galatians. It's not about what you are doing or the laws you're keeping. It's about what Jesus has done for you. Joy and peace and all the other fruits of the Spirit are not just a result of our actions, however well we try and cultivate them, or our goodness, but because of what Jesus has done and standing and remaining in that. Joy and peace grow in barren places. Now, I am told by Rebecca, who knows loads and loads of stuff about wine, that actually the best wine-producing grapes grow in places where the conditions are like the most stressful because their roots have to go down really, really deep to get the water. So apparently in Portugal, where grapes are grown for vintage port, the ground is very dusty and the temperature can be 50 degrees, but that port is amazing because of they have to go down deep. And actually, so it is with us, God's people. You know, when the Israelites were suffering in Egypt, God raised up Moses to bring freedom. The first thing they did was sing for joy when he did that. Even though they were in the middle of the desert, the promised land was still far away, they sung for joy. The Bible Project write this: "This joy in the wilderness was a defining moment. It showed that God's people's joy would be determined would not be determined by struggles, but by their future destiny." They had moments of joy, even in the wilderness. They still had a lot of wandering, they still had a lot of waiting, and they still had years of silence until this. This is the most seemingly barren place of all. There's not really many more barren pictures. The cross is made of wood, which is essentially something fruitless because it's a tree chopped down with no life in it. But look at the rescuing saviour that it bore. This fruitless wood cross with the Son of God on it achieved peace with the Father, so that if we trusted in his message, then we would be ever able to share in his joy forever. This is where we find our hope and our saviour. And actually, all the searching for joy and peace that God's people have done throughout history, through the desert, experiencing years of silence, waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, was found here. Finally, the hunt was over with a wooden cross and an empty grave. Finally, the possibility of eternal joy and peace was made known forever. This is where Paul points to the Galatians, a people looking for law and peace, law for joy and peace, and this is where we need to go. You know, sorrow and joy can coexist. They did in Jesus, and they can in us. You know, Jesus has planted something in us by his Spirit that has potential for such growth. You may look at the list of the fruits of the Spirit and you can't see much of them in your life, but I would say don't lose heart, because if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, a seed has been planted and it is growing and changing, and he is good at growing and changing us. He's given us the gift of his Spirit, so there is potential for growth in every single one of us. You know, joy and peace go hand in hand as we go hand in hand with Jesus, relying on him, trusting in him, waking up each day and saying, this situation isn't joyful, this situation isn't peaceful, but I will look here to your cross for everything you've done for me. It's all about his efforts. It's not just about ours. Because the basis of our sorrow ultimately is temporary, but the basis of our joy, the cross, is eternal. You know, Jesus knew about the joy that awaited him before the dawn of time, and he knew that it awaited him again. He knew that it wasn't over. It says, doesn't it, about the joy before him, set before him, he endured the cross. Fruits of the Spirit can grow in barren places, in the hearts and minds of people that are filled by his Spirit, where the only water they have is the only water they need. In lives that say, this is enough for me, this, the cross is enough for me. I may not feel happy, but his sacrifice is my joy and peace. I said we'd talk about what to do with this joy and peace that he's brought for us. Joy and peace is not a fruit just to keep to ourselves. It's not a fruit just for City Hope. It's a fruit that is to go out into our communities. He looks like they're good at catching. Not Paul. Rachel. Right, Rachel, I'd like you to share that apple for me. Share it out. Come on. Share it. Exactly. It's very hard, isn't it? Don't do it. It'd be disgusting. Don't do it. It's very hard to share an apple. When you think fruits of the Spirit, I don't want you to think apple, okay? I want you to think ta-da-da, woo! I want you to think watermelon, okay? Because fruits of the Spirit, all of them, not just joy and peace, are fruits not to keep to ourselves. They are a sharing fruit, okay? They're fruits to be shared. Because you're all waiting for some. You'll get some. It isn't going to last everybody. That's where the analogy dies, but you will get some. Because we know, actually, don't we, that the empty grave and the cross, it was not the end of the story. Joy and peace did not end there, staying with a few little disciples that were fortunate enough to experience some of it. The early message took this joy and peace out into the world, and they took it to prisons. They were alone, they were in shipwrecks, some of them died for it, but they did it imitating their master. They took it out, they didn't keep it to themselves, and so must we. It's really important that we don't keep it to ourselves, because we are the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit now. We have access to joy and peace that actually the world out there does not have. And it's important that we share it in our words and in our actions. And we might feel inadequate. You know, Lola said, I'm not the most peaceful person in the world, but I will do it because I have his Spirit in me, and I will look at the cross and I will trust him. I will trust him. Jesus said about himself, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes branches that do bear fruit so they produce even more. Joy planted should produce more joy. Peace should produce more peace. We need to take it out. It's really important. We are the fortunate ones. Whatever our circumstances today, we have access to Jesus. A little example. I want you to tell me, I do apologise for visitors at this point, because you won't have a clue what I'm talking about, but for everybody else, I want you to tell me who this is. What City Hope member? Ooh, budge over. Budge over, that's definitely like her. Budge over, who is this? I'll have a couple for myself. Pass them back. Just a favour, pass them back. Who's this? Who is it?
Chris.
Exactly. Everybody knows, because every week Chris gets up. She gets a sweet. I mean, I was really pleased she did it before the sermon today. I was like, yes, no one's going to get distracted. They're going to be listening. She does it every week. We know that that's Chris, don't we? The challenging thing is, we all know that Chris shares her sweets every week at church. Do our communities know us for joy and peace? What do they know us for? Now, can I just say, before I move on, Chris is known for a lot more than handing her sweets out. She is a light in this church. She has a prophetic gifting. She is a joy to her community. She brings us lots of joy. I'm using the sweet thing because it's visual. But thank you, Chris. Seriously, keep handing out your sweets. Just do it before I get up. But seriously, I knew once I started her off, I wouldn't be able to shut her up. I haven't got much time left anyway. We're almost done. We're almost done. I'm on my last point, Chris. What are we known for in our workplaces, out in our community? Are we known for those that not just give out some sweets, but actually bring joy and peace? You know, I look at Paul's list of fruits, and some days, to be honest, and I've got people in this room that work with me, I'm not always giving out those fruits. But I am going to keep asking him to grow them so that I can. What if we were known for joy and peace in our workplace? What if when we got up in the morning, our prayer was, Lord, help me share the joy and peace that you've given me today? What would our communities look like? How would it look different in our workplaces, in our families, at the school gate? Maybe it would look like congratulating someone for a promotion that actually you wanted. Maybe it would look like remaining peaceful, even if redundancy comes. Not falling apart when the funding looks uncertain. Maybe it looks like being less anxious than some of the other parents on the school gate. Quietly trusting Jesus. Quietly spreading joy and peace. Surely, if we live lives like that, somebody is going to notice. I'm going to hand out there's a bit more watermelon. I'm going to hand out some watermelon in a minute, basically just as a visual aid, because I want you to remember, when you forget most of what I've said like tomorrow morning, I want you to remember the sharing point. I want you to remember that these fruits, joy and peace that he's grown in us, are fruits to share. I'm going to hand it out, but as I do so, I would like you to just to turn to whoever you're sitting with, and I'd like you to pray a couple of things for each other. I'd like you to pray for the fruits of joy and peace to grow, that the Holy Spirit would grow them in you. And I'd also like you to pray for each other for opportunity to share joy and peace outside of this building, in the community, in your family, workplace, wherever he takes you, that it will be evident that actually fruits can grow in barren places, even when there's sorrow, even when there's anxiety, because of the cross, because of the power that's there. We can be people of joy and peace that know how to share it. So turn to people, do some praying with them for those things. I will hand some of this out. In fact, Ruby and Heidi said they'd take some watermelon out. After you've prayed with each other, the band are going to come up, and we are going to continue with some worship.